You know, be going to Deuteronomy chapter 24 just for a minute. Are we on, Brother Mike? Girls, you did do a good job. Here's what I like. I like seeing our young people get out of their comfort zone and do things they normally don't do. And here's what you think. Well, they just sung a song. We'll get you a songbook, come up here and you sing one for everybody. They're nervous. That's how it is. You have to get out of your comfort zone. That's what this growing in the Lord is all about, girls, is getting out of your comfort zone and doing something for His glory and honor. And I appreciate what you did. Now, before we read, the book of Deuteronomy, it's a book about remembrance. Here's what's happening. Moses, the old generation has died. Moses is preparing this next generation to cross over Jordan. They're going to cross over into the land of Canaan. They're going to obtain the promise of God, if I could just say it that way. And the goal of leadership is to prepare the next generation to go further than they did. That's what Moses is doing. This old here's what happened to the old generation. They died in the wilderness. That's just what they did. They had truth. They had the opportunity to go on with God. Said, we're not doing it. You remember the story there at Kadesh Barnea? God told them to go over. I mean, there was, God had promised, here's the land. Go get it. But they lived by sight. They wouldn't walk by faith. And here's what's sad to me. I see my generation dying in the wilderness. We've traded our spirituality for the pleasures of this world. You know, Solomon did that. Do you realize, here's what the law of Moses said. You can go to Deuteronomy, we won't turn. Talking about the king said he shouldn't multiply wives, horses, or gold or silver. That's what the Word of God said. You know what Solomon did? The wisest man, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Had 4,000 horses and chariots. And he had so much gold and silver that silver, the Bible says, would count as nothing. You know what he did? And he says in Ecclesiastes, whatever my eyes wanted, that's what I did. He lived the latter end of his life for the pleasures of the world, for this world. He knew the Word of God. He disobeyed the Word of God. He did what he wanted to do. And at the end of life, you know what he said? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. A wasted life. A life of regret. And here's what Moses is saying. He's seeing a generation that has the opportunity to go further than they did. To see things and do things that the old generation only dreamed about. You know, that they were forbidden to go, but in less than 24 hours they decide, you know what, Lord, we will go. And God says, too late. You have an opportunity to go on with God, but you can lose it if you don't go when He tells you to go. But the goal of leadership is to prepare the next generation going. And that's really the goal of this church. It's to prepare this next generation, my children, your children, to go further than we did. Moses wants them to go on. And he's going to tell them some things. If they're going to go further than he did, he's telling them, here's some things I want you to remember. And you see words all throughout the book of Deuteronomy. You see the words like, let me just read a few of these. Take heed unto yourself, lest ye forget. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping His commandments. Remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. He's wanting them to remember. But in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 9, here's what he says. He says, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam, by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. This one particular incident, Moses wants them to remember. He wants them to remember what Miriam did and what happened. And he's telling this not to discourage. He is telling this to warn them, to encourage them. Hey, if you're going to go on with God, you better remember this. And so what I want to look at, be going to Numbers chapter number 12. What I want to look at for just a few minutes tonight, the same lessons that Moses was trying to, that the children of Israel could draw from this, they're the same lessons you and I are going to have to get. If this church, this next year, is going to progress and go on with God, we've got to get these same lessons from this that they were. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were, which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said to Moses, If her father have but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought again. Let me stop reading right there. Here's the first lesson I want to look at from this. It's the danger of criticism. This chapter, it opens up with Miriam and Aaron, and they're speaking against Moses. And really, when you look to it, Miriam's the ringleader in this. I'm convinced of that. And I'll tell you why. Number one, she's mentioned first. And secondly, when judgment came, Aaron wasn't struck with leprosy. Miriam was. And really, if you go back and look, this sounds harsh. Aaron really wasn't much of a leader. He was a follower. You remember the golden calf when they said, when Moses, we don't know what's happened to Moses, make us gods, what'd he do? He did exactly what the people wanted. He's not a leader. He's a follower. Miriam's the one that's instigating this, and Aaron's just jumped on the bandwagon, if I could say it that way. And Miriam was a leader. You remember when they came across the Red Sea? What's Miriam doing? She's leading the women and singing. And so I believe because of all those things, Miriam was the instigator in all this. And here you got Moses again that's being murmured against and criticized. I mean, it's his whole ministry. Somebody's always got a problem with him. And let me tell you young people this, if you plan on doing anything for the cause of Christ to serve Him, you might as well get ready to be criticized. One writer said this, and I liked it. He said, spiritual excellence is more likely to provoke criticism than to inspire commendation. You step out and you do something for the glory of God, for His glory and honor, and there'll always be somebody that criticizes you. But when you're being criticized, here's what you need to remember. You're probably doing something right. I tell this to the men in the prison all the time, my Sunday school class. The easiest way to build yourself up is to tear everybody else down around you. And when you see somebody that's just critical of everything, they're critical of this person, they're critical of that, here's what the problem is. It's them. They're the ones with the problem. And you would... Really, it's not even surprising to see that it's his own brother and sister that's criticizing him. Because you and I know where does most of our criticism come from. It's not the world. It comes from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's where we're at. Moses and Aaron, they got a problem with his wife. Now, this had to hurt him. It had to bother him. But what does he do? He doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything. Moses was meek. Here's what that means, if I could say it this way. It meant that he could hold his tongue when he was being attacked. That meekness speaks of humility and submission to God. Meekness doesn't mean you're weak. Moses was a meek man. But you go back to the golden calf, he didn't have a problem being outspoken for God. He was bold as a lion for the cause of Christ. But when it came to himself being attacked, he's just a gentle man. He didn't say nothing. It didn't matter. You insult my God, and I've got an issue. But if you want to attack and insult me, just so be it. He just held his tongue. And here's what I like about this. Moses didn't speak. But who did? God did. And the Lord, verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron unto Miriam, come out ye three on the tabernacle congregation. One of my verses I love is 1 Samuel, them that honor me, I will honor. Here's Moses. He's trying to honor God. He's being attacked and criticized. He's not going to say anything, but you know what? God will say something for him. And we talked about this in the school. The best way to handle criticism is you just let God deal with it. You start trying to deal with it, you'll make a mess of things. Here's Moses. We don't see him respond. He's just going to let God deal with it. And in verse 9, notice what we see. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. They've been critical of Moses, and God's angry. Miriam's going to be struck with leprosy because of this. And here's the point I'm getting at. If we're going to go on as a church, if this next generation is going to go on, here's the one lesson you have to grasp. You can't be critical of God's man. Moses wants him to know, if you're going to go on, you can't be critical of the man of God. The book of Joshua, you never find where they're critical of Joshua. You never find one time where the children of Israel criticize Joshua over anything. Even, you remember, I think it's chapter 8 or something, when the Gibeonites come in, and they're the enemy, but they have old clothes, and they got moldy bread, and they're trying to make it look like they came from a great distance. And here's Joshua. Joshua said he made peace with them. He made a league with them. And the children of Israel, you know who they murmured against? They murmured against the princes of the congregation. They didn't murmur against Joshua. You know why? I think they understood this lesson. I think they understood the dangers of what happens when you murmur and you attack the man of God. If we're going to go on with God, we've got to have God's blessing. When you are attacked for the pastor, you know what all you're doing? All you're doing is making God mad. That's what it, here's what the Bible says. Hebrews 13:70, obey them when have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. You'll never find in the Word of God where the Bible says we need to criticize. We need to evaluate the performance of the pastor. You'll never find it. Now, does the pastor miss it sometimes? He does. Sure he does. He's got the same flesh to deal with as you and I. But does that mean God doesn't want us to obey? If the pastor gets up and says, listen, God, I believe God wants us to do this, and we think it's wrong, and it may even be obvious to somebody, hey, I don't think this is the right way to go, what's our responsibility? I'll tell you what it is. It's to submit and obey. Here's what we're going to be judged by. God is going to look at us by what we did. He told us to submit. He told us to obey. That's what I'll be judged by. If the pastor says, Brother Chad, here's what I think I want you need to do. I want you to go down and do this. You know what I'm to do? I'm to do it. Even if it don't make sense to me, if I think it may be wrong, here's why. Because God's going to judge me based on my performance. He'll judge the pastor based on his. If he misses it, that'll be between him and God, not us. If this church is going on, we can't be critical of God's man. Joshua missed it with the giving us. We don't read one time where anybody said, do you realize Joshua didn't even pray about all that? I mean, he just took their word for it. He missed it, if I could just say it that way. Not one time do you see anybody tell him, Joshua, you didn't even pray about this. Joshua, did you not inquire a little bit? Josh, how could you be so deceived over this? They didn't attack Joshua. They obeyed. They submitted to it. And you know what? In spite of all that, God blessed them for it. They made hewers of wood and drawers of water out of them. Here's what they did. They got some people to do their work for them out of the deal. They didn't attack the man of God. If this church is going to go on, if this next generation is going to achieve things that my generation didn't, here's something you're going to have to remember. You're never going to go forward by criticizing the man of God. You're not going to go anywhere doing that. All you're going to do is anger God. But then not only that, Not only do we see the danger of criticism, we see the desire for control. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, if I could say it this way, they're the big three. You can go to Micah chapter 6. Let me just read it to you. Verse 4 says, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." They were the big three coming out of Egypt, if I could say it that way. God called Moses to bring out. Miriam, you can look at Exodus 15:20. She was called a prophetess. Aaron was the high priest. Miriam and Aaron are speaking against Moses' wife. But look at verse number 2. And you're going to see the real reason they're upset. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. They're speaking against Moses. They're finding a reason to criticize and attack. But here's their real motive. They want that position of authority. They want to control. Here's what Miriam's been losing. She was Moses' sister. Here's the congregation. I mean, just millions of people. All the women, who are they going to come to when they got a problem? They're going to go to Miriam. She's his sister. She can go to Moses. They're going to deal with her. Who are they going to go to now? Who in the camp is now closer to Moses than his sister? His wife. And so here was this position of authority, so to speak. She's lost a little bit of that. And then she was a prophetess. There's no record of any other prophet. Go back of any prophets, but go back to chapter 11. Notice what just previously happened in verse 24. It says that Moses went out and told the, verse 24, "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men, the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." Hey, she was the one that prophesied. Now who's prophesied? Her 70 elders of Israel. There's 70 men. Now let me ask you this. Is it not better to have 70 that can prophesy instead of one? Yeah. Here's where Miriam is. She's upset she's not top dog anymore. If I could just say it that way. And if she's going to keep this preeminence, she's going to take it upon herself to be a mouthpiece just like Moses was. She said, "Hey, God can speak through me just like He can Moses." She wants that position of authority. She's upset that other people are starting to do what she does. What should have been viewed as a blessing, that God's going to bestow gifts on other members of the congregation, it creates strife for her. In fact, she's going to create a problem in the camp because she's really not willing to lose the control that she has or the power, however way you want to word it. As this church grows and goes on with God, you know what's going to happen? Roles are going to change. And let me tell you this, it's a good thing. And instead of creating jealousy, we need to look at it as a blessing. I mean, just let me ask you this. Is it not better to have 5 piano players than one? Is it better to have 4 men that can run the sound booth instead of 2? I mean, is it better to have 6 men that can take the Word of God and expound on the Scriptures and can teach a lesson than the pastor having to do it all? Growth is good. These girls getting up and doing what they did, that excites me. I love to see that because what you're seeing growth. You're seeing God starting to move upon their life and raise up another generation. It excites me to see that. And here's the thing. If we grow as we should, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be sitting on the pew one day. You know why? Brother Allen, one of these young guys will be leading singing. They'll be singing the specials. They very well could pastor the church. I don't know what God has, but here's what I know. If we don't grow, we will die. That has to happen. And here's what happens with growth. A lot of people don't like it. I long for the day that our young people are doing more. I have taught Sunday school downstairs for 20 plus years. And if the pastor was to come to me and say, "Brother Chad, hey, I think it's time you step down. I really think Brother so-and-so should take that class over." Man, I would just say, "Praise the Lord."
You know why? Because somebody else, God is going to start moving in their life and helping them develop and grow. And I want to be a help to them. But everybody's not like that. Here's what a lot of people do. That's my class. Hey, I taught that class for 20 plus years. How dare you think you can just take that away from me? That's my baby. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this. Where would we be at today if 5-6 years ago, when when your mom was still here playing the piano, and somebody said, "We want Grace to play something." She said, "No, I'm the piano. I've always been the piano player at this church. I'm going to play this piano." Now she's sick and I'm not going to be here. And you know what? We'd be in a mess. But because she was mature enough to realize that, hey, our young people have to start coming on and learning some things. You know what she did? She got out of the way. And now she's gone. We ain't skipped a beat. Church, as we grow, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have us older heads. We're going to have to get in the shadows. This nation, God's going to start bestowing the same gifts that we have. He's going to start bestowing it upon them. And you know what we got to do? We can't fight against it like Miriam. We got to get out of the way. Get out of the way and let God do in their life what He wants to do. And what should have been a blessing to Miriam, it just caused problems. What should have been a blessing to the congregation is going to end up bringing sin into the camp. Miriam makes this statement. She says, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Verse 2, hath He not also spoken also by us?" Here's what she's insinuating. I can do just exactly what Moses can. This is her attitude. Go over a few chapters and what do you see Korah doing? Getting 250 elders of the congregation. Here's what they're saying. "Moses, you're taking too much authority on yourself. We're all holy." I'm saying that to say this. How you respond to change is how others are going to respond to it. There was a change taking place in the congregation. She rebelled. She fought against it. It ain't long, you know what? You see others fighting against it. As God starts maturing these young people, this next generation, to go beyond what we did, we can't fight against it. We got to let God do what He wants to do. And how I respond to that and how you respond to that is how others are. If I get out of the way and let them, and I'm encouraging to them, "Brother, what a good job they did. What a wonderful song you sung." And I'm encouraged. What do you think others are going to do? They're going to do the same thing. But if somebody gets up and sings, and I'm sitting back there, and I can say this because I'm not a singer, but I get back there and I say, "Man, they sounded horrible. They was in the wrong key." And I'm just real critical of everything they're doing. You know what's going to happen? It's going to bleed over and others are going to be critical. Miriam says, here's where Miriam's at. I'm not giving up this role I have. I'm going to assume a position that's really not mine. I'm going to talk just like Moses did. I can do it. She had a desire to do that. What'd God say? God said no. Here's what He said. Verse 6 through 8, here's what God's basically telling her. "I don't talk to Moses through dreams and visions. I talk to him face to face." She had a desire for this position, and God said, "No, it's not yours to have." Church, if we're going to go on, if this next generation is going to go on, to go further than we did, we can't let our desire to stay in control, to maintain those roles of preeminence, if I could say it that way, to bring sin in the camp. That's really what happened right here at Miriam. And there are people, they like being in control. That's just their thing. They love being in charge of something. It makes them feel fulfilled for whatever reason. We can't have that attitude. If our young people are going on, if we're going to go on, we can't have that attitude. The growth of the next generation is going to require us somewhere down the road to step aside and let them go on. And if we're not willing to do that, we're going to be in a mess. If our young people don't grow, this church will die. When my generation's done, they'll be shutting the doors on this church if our young people don't grow. We have a responsibility to help them grow, to encourage them. And when we see God moving and doing something in their life, even If the pastor comes and says, Chad, I think Brady will start teaching your Sunday school class. Go for it. I'll do anything I can to help you, whoever it may be. Because that's what we have to have. When the same people do the same thing and there's never any change, we don't grow. Lastly, we see a delay from chastisement. Sin has entered the camp because of Miriam, and God's angry with her. Here's some things you see about sin from this text. Number one, it brought shame to the individual. You know what Miriam wanted? She wanted to keep that preeminence. She wanted to be somebody. She wanted others to think highly of her. How highly do you think they're thinking of her when it's spreading through the congregation? Have you heard? My, did you hear what God did to Miriam? How He smote her with leprosy? Oh, wait, no, she's not. They shut her out of camp for 7 days. Do you think anybody's thinking real highly of her? That God Himself judged her and smote her? Sin brought defeat to Miriam. Do you know there's no record of her doing anything else for God? The only other time she's mentioned, chapter 20, she's mentioned. Bible tells us she died. That's it. But then here's the big one. Sin brought delay. Because of Miriam's sin, the entire congregation stopped. Her actions have hindered the progress of millions, if I could just say it that way. For 7 days, they have to just sit and wait. See, according to the law of God, those with leprosy had to be shut out of the camp. Let me word it this way. Their progress is going to stop until Miriam gets right with God. The word of God says she can't come to camp, and until her 7 days are up and she's right with God again, they're just sitting there. Who knows about this sin? You know who does? Nobody in the camp. There's three people that know about it. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam and Aaron are talking to themselves. They're accusing Moses. God calls them three. There may be a few more. His wife probably knew, but as far as the millions of people, probably most people were oblivious to what was going on. It was just a little private matter in Miriam's life, if I could say it that way. But everybody's going to suffer for it. Do you realize the little sins in your life that you think nobody knows about and it's not a big deal could be what's hindering this church from going on? Your decision that, you know what, I'm going to do what I know what the Word of God says, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Do you know that could be the very reason that the power of God don't move like He wants to? I mean, that's a sobering thought. Do you ever think coming in here with jealousy or envy or bitterness in your heart could be why nobody got saved at service? Listen, when there's sin in the camp, there's no progress. There's no forward progress. It stops. Jesus told His disciples, we won't turn. You can go to John 13. Jesus has given His disciples the illustration there. You got to wash your feet. Listen, there's nobody that lives perfect. There's nobody. As we walk in this world, our feet get dirty, if I could say it to you. But you know what? It's our responsibility to wash them and keep them clean. I have a responsibility to search my heart and my life before I enter those doors, and whatever's in my life that might hinder God moving, to confess it and get right with God. That's my responsibility. What sins did you bring in here tonight? Here's what happens. We come in from work. We eat supper. We throw our church clothes on. We run out the door. We sit on the church pew. And we give little thought to what might be in our hearts that we need to get right before we meet with God. And God can't work and do what He wants to do. Moses wants this congregation, this next generation, to go on. And here's what he's telling them. Sin's going to hinder your progress. Do you know they had the same problem when you get to Joshua? They had the same problem. You know the story of Achan? How he took the gold, the silver, and Babylonia's garment? Men died because of it. Hidden sin in the camp. And everybody suffers. Here's the thing about sin in the camp. All I can deal with is my heart. That's it. All I can do is search my heart, try to make sure I'm living my life according to the Word of God, and do all I can do. And that's it. Now, we got 80 people in here. Here's an entire congregation. How many people being in it wrong? The sin of one person stopped everybody. There's 80 people. All I can do is search my own heart. But you know what? If you've decided this is the way I'm going and it's contrary to the Word of God, and I don't care, this is what it's going to be. You know, you've crippled everybody. 80 people in here are going to suffer because of what you've decided. People will die and go to hell because you've decided, I'm not going God's way. I'm going to do like Solomon. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know what the Word of God says. I'm doing it my way. People will die and go to hell because that's the attitude a lot of God's people have. Wow, that's a sobering thought to me. You ever wonder what God might do if everybody showed up Sunday morning with a clean heart, had searched their heart, asked God to forgive me, God help me to get this right, and just really tried to get ourselves right with God? Not just one person, everybody in this congregation. You ever just wonder what God might do? But here's what I'm afraid happens. You got the majority of the people that do, but then all it takes is one person that says, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to church because I know I'm supposed to. I don't really care. I just want to be over with. And you know what? God looks at that. And you know what? Many times we all suffer for it. Here's all I'm saying tonight. Moses wants this next generation. He wants them to go on, to go further. He wants them to live a victorious life. He don't want them to die in the wilderness like their parents did. The same things that he's warning them with from this text, we need to remember. Number one, don't criticize the man of God. Don't be critical of the pastor. Nothing positive will ever happen with you attacking the pastor. I promise you that. All you're going to do is anger God. You're never going to go on as an individual. We will never go on as a church until we have the right relationship with the pastor. Honor him, love him, pray for him, but whatever you do, don't be critical of him. Because we'll all pay. Miriam was critical of Moses. Whole congregation paid for it. Don't get upset when God begins to move in the life of others. If said it before, if his church is going on, we have to grow. Growth brings change. A lot of people don't like change. Some change is good. God doesn't grow and mature this next generation. We're cooked as a church. And then don't bring sin into the camp. People are dying and going to hell. People are struggling, and God's wanting to do a work, and God's wanting to move and work in their heart and life, but He can't. You know why? Because there's sin in the camp amongst His own people. I want to see our young people go on. I want to see them go far beyond what I have. That's my desire. And if that's going to happen, we got to guard against these things. We got to guard against them. And here's I've said all this to ask you one question tonight. Are you a Miriam? Right here sitting in the congregation tonight, is there a Miriam? Somebody that's critical of the man of God. Somebody that just won't get out of the way to let the next generation grow and go on. Somebody that's got sin in their life. And everybody's suffering for it. Church, don't be Miriam. I ask y'all to stand tonight. Me, if you want to play, we'll have a verse of invitation. If you're being critical spiritually, here's what I do. I come up here and ask God to forgive you and get it right. If you've got a desire for preeminence among the brethren, I come up here and ask God to forgive you for it.
And by all means, if you brought sin in this congregation, I believe I'd come up here and confess it to God and ask Him to forgive me.